Okay, so this is started already? Is that the precedent?
I already
heard that. Okay. Okay. Good evening, everyone. Yashar Koach to Yohanan for pushing this. It's a very good to be back at Rosh Hashanah to help you, help myself prepare for Rosh Hashanah for the Yom HaDin. I have to be a little bit honest with you. It's a little awkward to speak about Yom Kippur for me before Rosh Hashanah. As in many people's imagination, the two collapse or conflate. And they're two very, very different days. And the themes are very different. There's very little tshuva on Rosh Hashanah. The depth and the striation of Rosh Hashanah is such that it requires tremendous mental exertion, imaginative expansion. There's so many values and themes and Hashem's Malchus and Zechronos of Am Yisrael and Jewish history. And of course the Gilui Shechina. And I find that sometimes people shortchange Rosh Hashanah by converting it into a pre-Yom Kippur. It isn't a pre-Yom Kippur, because I'm very clear about that. L'dam and Hashem, Ari v'Yishi, Ari is a Rosh Hashanah, Yishi is a Yom Kippur. There's a light, there's a radiance of the Ribono Shel Olam. It has very little to do with Yishi, with salvation and rescue. It's too cosmic, it's too eternal to be grounded in the Kapara of Yom Kippur. It's beyond human experience, it's beyond Jewish experience. But being that last year we spoke about Rosh Hashanah, so naturally we'll speak about Yom Kippur, but hopefully it will be helpful to set a certain tone and mood in general, and after Rosh Hashanah, this will be helpful also, hopefully, to attune yourself or calibrate tshuva. I certainly don't want this year to imply that these are the themes that should dominate Rosh Hashanah. We're leaping ahead of ourselves. And the nature of Elo, Kol, Ladin, Yeseba, Midalei, Hel, Heri, we'll talk about the leaping nature of tshuva as well. So we're leaping ahead to Yom Kippur, but it shouldn't in any way dwarf the magnitude of Rosh Hashanah. At the heart of Avodas Hashem, in the heart of consciousness for an Oved Hashem, lies a very important coil tension. Now, that tension isn't coiled properly, religious experience is rendered very shallow. And that's a coil tension between two opposing aims. One aim, which is the aim of every Oved Hashem, is to travel beyond human limitation. We're saddled by our human bodies, by our flaws, by our moral limitations. And maybe we can turn the fans off. Maybe we'll do something. Okay. Are they connected? What? No, just because it's hard to project. Oh, the air conditioning on that.
Fans don't make any noise.
Oh, okay. So, as Oved Hashem, we're always searching to transcend our limitations, not just on a personal level, but on a human level. We're basar v'dam, but we're trying to strive to be malachim. We live on Eretz, but we want to inhabit Shemayim. We're full of chait, and we're trying to strive beyond all human constraints and human boundaries. And so our great people who sense that Avodas Hashem is the hunt for the elusive aren't satisfied with proportionate or with lukewarm or moderate efforts, but there's a certain harshness and relentlessness to Avodas Hashem, and expresses itself in denying standards of human behavior, depriving yourself of sleep, and depriving yourself of food, and turning yourself into a midbar, as I'll say. Torah's given in a midbar to find your Avodah Shalom. You have to find extreme measures. You can't just pursue HaKadosh Baruch Hu in normal, constrained, uncalibrated human terms. So we want it to be something else. But then we fall tragically to the ground when we realize we're basar v'dam. We're anchored to this world, physically, of course, morally. We reach our limits, even when it isn't moral constraints. And it's very sad if a person doesn't have both of those echoes in their consciousness. Without dreams and aspirations, challenges, horizons beyond your own moment, then all of religious performance becomes very mediocre. You redefine goals based on performance rather than staking out real goals, and even if you fail to achieve them, recognizing in all their harshness the ennobling nature of surpassing goals. On the other hand, people that are so driven to transcend their humanity become very neurotic, dissatisfied, plunged into guilt and despair when they're able to achieve those levels. I remember discussing about a year ago, we were listening to some high school students, I was eulogizing, we were listening and describing this harsh, uncompromising example that he set of us and demanded from us. And at a certain point, a student, a high school student, very cogently said, "Did you ever get depressed?" And my immediate answer to him was, and there are two parts of the answer. The first part of the answer is, that's why we have a Ramadan. And I think that for a lot of the people here that went through their firsthand or secondarily that experience, that's what made it such a powerful combination. We saw an angel, we saw a human being. And one of those voices pushed us to extremes beyond the capacities we thought we possessed, and another person grounded us to accept our humanity, to accept who we were. And that's such a necessary coil tension in the heart of the religious experience, the religious conscience. It always has to be coiled, it always has to be crouching and about to, never fully expressing itself, because if you let loose the coil tension, it may spring into one of the poles or too far in one radical fashion rather than being coiled, rather than the center point. And I think in general, that's an important tension in Avodas Hashem, healthy tension. But it's felt acutely during Chodesh Elul, during the process of Tshuva. And Tshuva accentuates that tension on two fronts. Firstly, because Tshuva, and we'll talk about this mitzvah later tonight, demands frustration, despair, disappointment, mortification, shame, self-critique. And those traits are healthy. Maybe the lifespan of an Avodas Hashem, and modernity is trying to sanitize or eliminate those traits. We're in an emulsified world in which religion is packaged with soft edges rather than harsh demands. And it's not health, however, an overdose of those feelings is very unhealthy. It can create depression, hopelessness, forfeiture. But it's not just the emotional yield of tshuva in which this tension is felt very, very acutely. It's also the process. Because true tshuva demands authenticity, honesty, genuine sincerity. But we're all haunted by the hypocrisy that's endemic to the human condition. And as we search for that true voice, and we try to strip away layers of conceit and deceit and artifice and self-delusion, we acknowledge how self-delusional we all are necessarily, how necessary that defense system, the story, the narrative we tell ourselves about ourselves, and the failures we choose to deny in order to maintain our emotional and psychological equilibrium. And for many people, the process itself never begins. The process itself is fraught with, I'll be back in the same place next year. Is it really going to change? This isn't really authentic. I haven't really dug to the core of who I am. And I'd rather be a failed Baal Tshuva than a heroic hypocrite. And just flash my hypocritical dishonesty and torpedo the entire process. So it's not just the result of Tshuva creates a accentuation of that coil tension between who we want to be and who we are, but it's also the process itself. We'd like to apply ourselves sincerely and completely to Tshuva, and yet we're haunted and almost ridiculed by our own dishonesty and our own fledgling attempts to reach sincere, deep, profound acknowledgement of self. And that's precisely why Chazal developed different layers of Tshuva. Because Tshuva is not an all or nothing proposition. It's not an end-sum game. Once you reach Tshuva Gemura, and you reach full authenticity and full genuine sincerity, well, there's no value to it. Chazal create a layered, terraced landscape for Tshuva. And we all find ourselves somewhere, one way or another. And even if we surpass a particular layer, identifying and scripting the terracing helps us appreciate each layer. You know, we're able to accomplish greater layers, rather than collapsing the entire tshuva process into one undifferentiated, homogenized experience. We're able to layer it into that self-consciousness, the process we're undertaking, and to almost indulge and luxuriate each moment of the process and appreciate, and sometimes even congratulate ourselves for successful tshuva, even if we haven't reached the consummate or the complete tshuva. The Rambam, for that reason, I believe, doesn't list the mitzvah to perform tshuva. Our famous question in the Rambam, tshuva, primary answer, which the Rav supplied, is there may not be a mitzvah to perform tshuva. Rambam's lashon is the 32 sources. They actually read a source. Kol mitzvah shevatara, source number one. Deyaseh ve'lo taseh. Kim avar adam al achas mehen bein bezadon bein b'shkaga. Kish yaseh tshuva v'yashiv achote mechata. When he decides to perform tshuva, he should perform the following ritual of either. Why doesn't the Rambam list the mitzvah? The Rambam should say chayiv lasos tshuva, as he articulates almost every section of halachos. So the Rav's answer is there's no mitzvah to perform tshuva, because tshuva is a meta mitzvah, transcends cellularization. Lulav is a mitzvah, it's one hive of the honeycomb. Shatni is a mitzvah, another hive of the honeycomb. The two don't cross pollinate. Of course, kalat darkul is integrated, failure of one represents derelict in another. They're separate cells, they're separate compartments. Tshuva is the application of freedom of choice. It's the bravest, most courageous application. It's not about whom we marry, or which profession we choose, or where we live. It's about who we are. And it requires almost self-separation. Separate yourself and your examining self from your performing or behavioral self. Be able to look at yourself honestly and render decisions that are hard and difficult and very painful. Typically, the road to honest self-appraisal is paved with pain. You're looking for, I call it the whiff or the scent of honesty. The way you can really find in honest moments is probably the ones that cause you pain or grief. And you tend to shirk or to flinch in the face of grief and to turn away. If you pursue the pain, it's why this hurts so much, because it's a raw nerve that I've left uninspected and unscrutinized. And now that's the ill I'm facing, the aggregated frustration, the Oscar Wilde effect, Dorian Gray, where the painting remains flawless, but it accumulates and it aggregates all the toxicity of the degenerate lifestyle, and then that curtain is pulled off, and you see the monstrosity, and that person has become a projected monstrosity. But I think there's another reason the Rambam doesn't list tshuva as a mitzvah. Because he didn't have to define it, and defining it would create one rigid, inflexible, comprehensive tshuva. It's just not true. Tshuva, there's one way to take lulav. The Rambam can define the halachic parameters of lulav, how high you have to lift it, how tall the lulav has to be, how green, what type of species. Every mitzvah has at least a basic definition, sometimes a shir, sometimes a maisa. Tshuva doesn't. Tshuva reflects the vicissitudes of human emotions, the depths of the human journey into the self, the levels of the human desire to improve and to find the Ribono Shel Olam. And it can't be codified, it can't be objectified, it can't be structurally defined. So tonight I'd like to try to layer the terraces of tshuva, so that on our journey, we realize that sometimes even minimal accomplishments are worth accepting and acknowledging and ratifying, even as we set our sights for what the Gemara calls tshuva gemura. Actually, the Gemara doesn't use the term tshuva gemura. The Gemara's terminology for a complete, successful bal tshuva, the confident bal tshuva, the profile of paradigmatic tshuva, the Gemara calls a bal tshuva. You're married to tshuva. You've engaged the tshuva to the level that it redefines you. The Gemara says, source number three, Hashem Dami Baal Tshuva. Rabbi Yehuda, Gidon Shebas, Riyada, Dvar Avera, Pam Rishona, Pam Shnia, Demitza Rimeno. You face the same sin repeatedly, and you avoid and you resist it. Not only the same sin, Rabbi Yehuda adds, Beosa Isha, Beosa Perek, Beosa Makom. Not just the same category, but the same desire, the same predicament, the same vulnerability, the same psychology, the same appetite, same degree of temptation. The Rambam cites this Gemara. His terminology is not as poetic as Baal Tshuva, it's more clinical, but it's the same spirit. Source number five, Ezohi Tshuva Gemura. So the Gemara refers to it as a Baal Tshuva, personalizing the experience. There's a personalization of being married to tshuva, of owning tshuva. You're Baal Tokea, so the real grammar is a Baal Tekiah, but you're a Baal Kara, you're a Baal Tefila, you're a Baal Tekiah. You're a Baal Tshuva. So the Rambam is Tshuva Gemura. Baal Yadav Davish Avarbo, same woman, same place, same time, just to pick an example or a metaphor. The Gemara recites the same language in different Gemara, not in Yomah, but in Brachos, Amr Chia Bar Abba, Amr Yochman. The Navim set their aspirations and their ambitions very high. They exhorted us to become a Baal Tshuva. But that type of transformation is very elusive, is very uncommon. Ironically, the older we get, the more we mature, the more distant it feels, the more unattainable it seems, the more it looms, almost to mock us by our own experience and the stability we've established in ourselves and the security, which of course sometimes hinders that type of transformation. And the same Rambam that talks about Tshuva Gemura, that's perhaps I think why the Rambam altered the language from Baal Tshuva to Tshuva Gemura, because the term Tshuva Gemura implies is a type of Tshuva Sheina Gemura. And a matter that Baal Tshuva doesn't invite. Baal Tshuva seems binary. Either you're a Baal Tshuva or you're not. Either you're married or you're not. Whereas Tshuva Gemura suggests the possibility of a Tshuva Sheina Gemura, as the Rambam says. Three lines on the bottom of Source 5, Im Lo Shav, Ela Bi Mezik Nusa. If you wait, if you tarry, your energies have already stilled and have already become depleted. It's a beautiful turn of phrase. It's not a tshuva me'ula as a noun, but it's a tshuva mo'elas as a verb. A tshuva has impact, it does advance, it does transform. So the Rambam is well aware of the forbidding nature of the binary world of Baal Tshuva or Tshuva Gemura, and he creates terracing. What are the terraces of Tshuva? So, if we have time, I'd like to talk about seven of them. Seven forms of imperfect Tshuva. It's more likely we'll only get to three or four, but we'll see how long we have. Okay, I'll try to stand also. Turn it off, it's probably cool enough anyway, the window's open. The Gemara in Kiddushin, source number 6, says that if a person marries a woman, to maintain the marriage metaphor, the condition for the marriage, Amenash Ani Tzadik, I'm marrying you on the condition, this is a legal contract, create any legal contingency, the marriage will only work if it's raining outside, or the marriage will only work if Brown's ever won a game. So anything can become a legal contingency. Even if by all social standards this person is a Rasha Gemura, the marriage is enforceable. The marriage is operative. Why the Gemara says, Amidasha Mitzadik, source number 7, I feel a Rasha Gemura. Even if you've married a terrible, terrible criminal, the marriage adheres, and you've got to, of course, discharge the marriage if you choose to do a legal divorce. Shema here or Chubber Beliba, but I don't. Maybe that person, maybe, had a momentary glimmer, a glimpse of thought, passing hope, that one day will be Chubber. Here or Chubber. Just a little tear, a little flash of remorse, a little strike of the heart's chords. And that person isn't even called a Baal Tshuva, he's called a Tzadik. So Chazal were willing to acknowledge and to validate even that flesh, even that recognition, even that hope. When they told us the story of Nebuzaradan, Nebuzaradan was Nebuchadnezzar's henchman, murdered 8,000 people in revenge for Zechariah the Kohen's murder on the Kippur Shabbos and the Kodesh HaKadosh, the story you read about on Tisha B'Av. And I'll tell the story where at a certain point he looks towards Shemayim and says, how many more people should I kill? And the blood finally abates. And cessates and terminates his bubbling and gurgling. And then he performs tshuva. According to some, he runs away. According to some, he kills himself. Seems like he runs away. The execution of Hanani ben Trajan. Roman henchman. Bloodless, merciless, cruelty. He turns to Rabbi Hanani and he says, if I take away the wet sponges, or if I increase the fire, it's killing, it's murdering. Will I go to Al-Nabi? And the Ben Trajan says yes. And he has a flash of tshuva after a lifetime of murder, corruption, brutality. Even a flash of tshuva. Even a slight turn of the heart. Some people perform tshuva with their dying breath. Famous Gemara, the Ravani Kamar always tells us, but Raza Ben Dor died. There wasn't a hero tshuva, it seemed like a more heartfelt tshuva, but it was after a life of absolute dissolution, moral decadence, puts his head between his hands, starts crying and wailing, and he dies with a broken heart. It's the last chapter of his life, that tshuva was accepted. The Torah Harmi Yivalgur Batachal Laretz Yisevel, Kodesh Baruch Hu announced tshuva before the mountains. were created, before the world was created, Tshuva Kadmoniyot L'Alfayim Shana is there, it's accessible. Then Yom Masal Techakma, but the Baruch Hu waits till the last moment. It's part of Erech HaFayim. We'll start to say this week, Masi Shabbos, Erech HaFayim. One definition of Erech HaFayim is that the Baruch Hu is very, very patient. Next time your kids rile you or irritate you, just think of Hashem, my word, Erech HaFayim. How about it? I tell myself that every day when I go to Yeshiva. You need a lot of Erech HaFayim to be a teacher. Because the kids are mischievous, they just went to say things, went not to say things, and went to hold off, and what will be healthy, what won't. Just a lot of Erech HaFayim, a lot of patience, a long, long temper, a long fuse, not to say what's in your mind, say what's in your heart, but to hold it in. So that's the first terrace of Tshuva She'ena Gemur. First thing is Mahara Tshuva Baliba, that's the end of the thought, it has to be Baliba, it has to be real Tshuva, but it doesn't have to be Mechashe Baliba, Chash Baliba, Valche Baliba, Mahara Baliba. Here it suggests a passing thought, a thought that enters, and that departs, the moment that it enters. When we talk about Chas V'Shalom, the danger of Hirhurim Rayim. Chazal had not described himself as a sexaholic or indulgent, addicted to long, just someone that sees and thinks and then the mind. Obviously, if it just passes through your head uncontrollably because you're walking in or shits around, that's not your hurt. All sorts of visual stimuli that unfortunately we can't control in our world. Follows that path and connects the dots and starts to travel down that road. Bower of Bliss, those of you who've read the romantic literature, creating that Bower of Bliss syndrome where you're trapped. Suddenly you find your mind elsewhere where it shouldn't be. You find your heart being led astray. So if a person has a hurry truly, even if it passes out of mind and out of reference, that's still valuable. Your room that are accredited and that are anchored to human experience. That's the first level of your home mind. First level of Tshuva She'ena Gemur. The second level of Tshuva She'ena Gemur is actually taken from this week's parsha. It's once ended. It's in the end of your Bakaras. Don't think we're ending this year, it's just the end of your Bakaras. I apologize for the funny little stars. I wasn't able to correct my Bali Run program. Very, very stark and dire description in Parshas Vayelech. Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, source 32, Hincha shochiv na nasecha, v'kham ha'amaze v'zana achorei elokei elohei nechar, shir v'shama. Kodesh Baruch Hu prophesies this gloom and doom that Am Yisrael will inevitably crumble under the weight of pagan influence. And Kodesh Baruch Hu's punishment, source number Yitzayin, 32, second paragraph, the Astarti panay mehem, I will hide my face. I will withdraw my attention. I will subject them to the whim and caprice of the vulnerabilities of our world without extending a protective umbrella of divine providence, of Hashkacha. And their response will be, source number Yitzayin, the Amar Bayomahu, Halo al ki'en el kai b'kribim, it's only us able, they will acknowledge, they'll realize that this is not just circumstantial or incidental, but we have cause and effect. This is a consequence of our errant behavior. And then Hashem responds, V'anochi, pasuk yirches, haskir, haskir, panei v'yomahu, al kolorah. Very famous Ramban. Why the two haskir panim? Pasuk yirzayim describes haskir panim as the punishment from a Zara. Then Pasuk Yuchas describes once again, Hastir Astir Panim Mehem. Why the two Astir Panims? What's the sequence? So Ramban says, the first Astir Panim is the harsh, severe Astir Panim. The people that have sinned, people that have betrayed, people that have eviled by worshipping a Zara, Hashem completely ignores them. But once they acknowledge Pasuk Yuchas and they realize, Halal ki ein elo kai dekirbi mitzoni aros elo, that's partial Tshuva. Have they said vidui? No. Have they expressed remorse or regret? No. All they've done is acknowledge. All they've done is acknowledge guilt. Owning the situation. We're responsible. We've banned up for it. That's all. Hashem says, that's enough to remove the harshness of Hester Panim. I will give them rachamim. I will no longer punish them. They won't live to see the full gula. The full gula requires vidui and charata and tshuva. But the very fact that they acknowledge that they don't live in a world of denial, but not just in a world of denial where you delude yourself about a particular event, but a world of apathy, disinterest, religious disengagement. You're not looking for meaning. You're not trying to gauge or scrutinize consequences. Not just a specific event occurs and you escape to some nether world of denial. Just a general attitude. As a person that processes life morally, religiously, looking for input, looking for change, creating a sense of consequence and accountability, Ramban says, you know, Vidur Gamor, source 33, Kenyan Gizbadra Sabon, we hear of a Harata. She's harpo malo mechiru kashkum hei. Babur shehiru yisrael believe him. Chatu lelokin v'kino hei mikirbam mitzamar oseimo. V'lachain, the last paragraph. Ki al kolara v'gola sh'as l'shach v'avar zara, all the sin, yastir al panim hei. Lokin yistar panim hei show. This second Esther panim won't be like the first Esther panim. Shinister Pinay Rachamab, he completely ignored them, didn't offer them any mercy. Umitzilim Rosh Rabos Vitzaros, and they were subject to all this punishment and suffering. No, they've escaped that. It's great accountability. Rock! Shubhazdah Pinay Gula, they won't see the Gula, they'll live in Golos, whether geographically or experientially. But they'll have Rachamim, sustainability, viability, health, success, prosperity. They will never redeem life. Well, that requires Lido and Charata Tshuva. Very, very seminal Ramban. Reminds us of the first step of tshuva. Some don't even leave for. Sometimes we leave for tshuva. We end up flattening tshuva. We end up not necessarily generating the energy in the spirit. The first step is just acknowledgement. What have I done? Where did I fail? How are those failures generated? Even if you're not willing to look towards the future, just a clear and unflinching assessment of the past. Landscaping the past. Where did it come from? Had I let myself down before you look to the future? Sometimes the future allows us to escape the past, allows us to rebuild the past. So the second level of Tshuva She'ein HaGemor Gedalia, according to the Rambam, isn't, interestingly enough, if you look at the pasuk carefully, you're not even witnessing either. There's no confessional. There's no statement. It's a general verbalization. But they're not describing their failure, they're describing the situation. The Amar Bayom Ahu, they're not saying because we worship the Vodazara. We betrayed. They're describing the results. Hashem Baruch is not amongst us. We've distanced him. Therefore, his face, his presence, his attention is no longer available. And we're subject to coincidence and caprice. Not even deeply. It's just acknowledgement. Shattering the hypnosis of lackadaisical disinterest, and just swimming through life without inspection, without recognition, without religious thirst, without a desire for the Baruch Hu. And when you break that and shatter that, that's a mitzvah, it's a madriga. The third level of tshuva she'ein HaGemurah, which is a level that a different Ramban describes, is not what I would say accepting responsibility, but actually verbalizing it. When Am Yisrael came back from Babel with Ezra, well, let me start from a different angle. Who was the first person to recite Vida? Well, not to recite Vida on the Shabbos. Who was the first Vida reciter? Maybe the Kohen. Maybe Yehuda, Tzad Kamimeni, Parshas Vayeshev. Like pretty clear. Chazal feel the first person to recite Vida was a Grois Tzadik. Kain. I say, so who is Cain's leader? If anything, he seems flippant. Because Baruch Hu asks him who his brother is. He turns to the Rebbe and says, Baruch Shalom, Mayor Mekayin al Hashem, Golo Abonim in Sal. You're asking me about my sin. You're the Nalak Machan and Machan. You can sustain the entire earth. You can't have another sin that you'll back. All of a sudden, you're getting so ornery and so. You bear people's sins. Golo Abonim in Sal. It's insolent. It's chutzpah. It's chutzpah. God will abonim himself. But he says the word abonim. There's absolutely no interest in changing. Absolutely no remorse about the murder. But he says the word. Say it. You sinned. Say it. Verbalize it. Because in the process of verbalization, our past transforms from abstract and incoherent, loose and unformulated into something very graphic, very compelling, very vivid. Fund it when we verbalize it. When we say, Al-Khay, Shachatan, Lifanat, we actually say the words. Because we think in words. We articulate our deep thoughts in words. And as we verbalize it, attach actual words and say it or write it. That's really the power of Vida. Vida is not just pragmatic or logistical to make sure we provide coverage for all of our accountability. There's a psychological potency to Hebrew. Gam ki avoni agid, adag nechad to see that in Elch says in Nun Aleph, the two great prakim of Shiva, Lam Ches and Nun Aleph. You don't have a prakim to read Yom Kippur, Purim, Rosh Hashanah, Kabbalah, the Davar Mizmor, Lashem Malzim, Lazevel, Vios Shivah, and Sadat. I just gave a little quick share for Davening. It's a beautiful structured parrot, if you want to report it. It really, really typifies Rosh Hashanah. Mem Zayin, Lam Mitzach, Ben Karach, Mizmor, Kalam, Im Tekru Chav, Assembly of Entirely Misa Olam, Karanet, Rabbah Shalom, through Karanet, and Ayu Stel Yad, Yadim Tachdenu, Lo Rim Tachas Rabbeinu, Alokim Betrua. Of course, Tehim, all people of Chodesh Shofar, the case of Yom Tavinu, has a key faster. Those are the prakim of Rosh Hashanah, the prakim of Yom Kippur, Alam Ches, Menalev, of course, Shira Malas, Mira Makim, which we recite in the Seres and Mechuba. Those are the primary prakim of Chuba. Dorinov says, Gam Ki Avon Yadid, Ed Ag Mechatasi. Those of you who study grammar, you'll recognize an inversion of the sentence. Noun, verb, verb, noun. That's called in literature enjambment. We restructure the sentence to jam two words together. As if you remember Lichtenstein's Kiddush Friday night, there's a very cruel enjambment in his Kiddush. Kibodra Bacharta, the tune should say, Yosar Kidashta, Mikal Amin. Or if Aaron's Kiddush was, Kibodra Bacharta, Yosar Kidash Mikal Amin. So you put the Amin right in the Kiddusha. I don't know if he was really intending it, but how could you say Mikal Amin without saying Kiddusha? Noun, verb, noun, verb. When I say, when my sin I say, I worry about my sin. Gam ki avoni agid et ad mechatasi. When jamming, agid et ad. Even phonetically similar. When I say it, I worry. Gam ki avoni agid et ad mechatasi. If the sentence would just flow with a normal rate, you wouldn't have that confrontation of Agir and Itad. Dama Vani Agir, Mechatasi Itad. The sense would be linked. When David and Melch inverts the two conflict, not conflict, they complement one another. So Adam sees Kayin, Chazal say, Vayitze, Kayin, Yufne Hashem, a very famous pasuk, those of you who will study Yonah, this is a parallel to Vayitze Yonah, Yufne Hashem, Vayitze Kayin, Yufne Hashem, very interesting language, Milifne. Pagabal, source 9, line 3 from the bottom. Pagabal, third line. Pagabal, Abin Arisha, last line, source 9. Amalo, Mana Sebedincha, I'm assuming your sentence. What was your sentence? Kayin says, Amalo, Sisi Chuba. Chuba. And this Basharti, you cut a deal. State's witness. Plea bargain. I got half off, I'll have to be a nomad. You got expelled from the world of perfection. I just have to be a traveler. I have to get on a plane. I said, believe it or not, I get on a plane. Kayin says, Nabanati Abaris. Amalos, Abin says, oh my goodness, Rabboni Shalom, Mitachu, Atshuva, Kedola, that's how great Tshuva is, Tabla, Hodos, Lashem. Adam didn't even conceive of Tshuva, it was so difficult to imagine. So that's the first example in history of Tshuva, Sheiner Gimura, through non-heartfelt beaver. But just saying it, even though you don't intend to change it and there's no remorse, it's driving it. The second example appears to be, at least the Ramban suggests as such, when Amisal returns in the days of Ezra. It's a very sad experience. Very few return. Misamikra's belly flopped before it began. There was no Nisim. It was a shadow of itself. There's no Eshagat in the staff. They didn't be Aaron. They didn't approve him. More than that, they brought back some friends. What did they bring back? Which friends did they bring back? They're Gentile Arabs. Every man who's married to a Gentile woman. Most of us are looking forward to the honey cake, the sponge cake, I'm sure you can imagine the Persian cake, the Persian wise cake. They weren't making honey cake, they were making Persian cake. And it seems as if they didn't divorce their wives. But they've got these nasty nationals. Daniel leaves them in Ezra. And Tachanun tomorrow, we'll say, unless you can find a minion with a chasm. You can't let me know. You're great at chasm. Quick is diving on Monday and Thursday. But, or you're always happy with you. That's not the way you don't play in the stadium. How excited you are, the chosen to join Monday and Thursday. How disappointed you are if they come on Tuesday and Wednesday. The full range of emotions. Like you want to kill them. Because of them. What a waste of a Kennedy's L3 card. Well, these heartfelt tachanunim of Monday and Thursday. Chatanu, source 11, Avinu, Hirshanu, Maradnu, Hashem, one Rosh Tafanim, Yochinu, Visarinu, Labosinu, Shemulach, Hashem, Yuchot, Tosech, Yashem, Nah, Chabak, Hamas, Ezra, Nechemia. We're all taken from there. How does taking Ezra, Nechemia, Tachemia? It doesn't seem like they performed the real heartfelt Vidui. It's basically Vidui Pah, something close to Vidui Pah. It's my favorite Ochay. It's a cyclical Ochay. He's saying an Ochay for all the false Ochay, but this is also false. So. It's an endless loop, it's like pie. Vidui Pah. Everything you say is Vidui Pah, so repeat it. So you can't get out of the loop unless you just accept the fact that that's what life is, even when you're undone. That's really when you confront the cyclical loop of self-delusion. You say, Achei Kishvara Zachon Vidur Ka. So Ramban talks about this, a different Ramban. Based on the Pasuk in the Tochacha, which describes the return from the Golos Rishon, the Yisvaru, Chatasan, Ramban says, source 10, it's in Drashim Tuchokosa, Shalom Amar Shi Yashuv, Shuv HaShereinu Lepona. Shem's not prophesizing in the days of Ezra to go as we shall not perform Shuva. Rav Shi Yisvadu Ravonu Ravonu Bosa. Not perform Vidur. Umatsim Anche Bayashini Osiki, Kimosh Yisvadu Daniel, Kof Daniel, Chatanu, Avinu, Areki Kuv, Lomu Minatara. They all learned Parshas Bechukasa very well. They weren't willing to engage in full Shuva. They weren't willing to divorce their wives. They weren't willing, in many cases, to come back to Eretz Yisrael. Except for 42,000. They were willing to perform their faith. It's also a mind. To the highest mind of Shiva, Gemara, Baal Shiva. It's a mind to bring yourself to the point where you don't have to accept accountability for your actions. If you actually see the word, the sin, you say it, or not just practically, mechanically, you figuratively say it. You live with it. You face it. You train something that's vivid rather than distant and abstract and removed and. In that netherworld of darkness and dissonance that we choose to banish our failures and our fears. Think of the metaphor, the monster in the closet, the closet and the key, that our own consciousness that we dispatch all of the thoughts we'd rather not think about and we disassociate from them. Vidur is a bridge to try to create association and evoke and reintroduce all those thoughts and failures, not just in the realm of consequence, but in the realm of behavior, which really wouldn't be the consequence. If the people in Parshas Vayelech are confronting consequence, the people in the first days of Mikdash are confronting behavior and failure in a very graphic way, in a way that may not necessarily offer a horizon of rectification or corrective, but just accepting failure and living with it in a very, very graphic fashion. And that's what occurred during the days. Look at the Rambam's bare bones definition of Vidur, source number 14. Now, Vidur is Shemabu Gokal Yisrael. What's the long term Vidur? We're talking about Veda Sajigo's Vidur a little bit later, very, very flaring Vidur, and flourishes and very poetic Vidur. What's the base Vidur? Base Vidur, the Rambam says, Avo Anachnu Chatanu. Reports. Avo Anachnu Chatanu. More or less based on the Vidur of Yossi's brother. They'll have to engage in a mass confessional. Avol Hashem Menachem, three words. Avol Hashem Menachem, three words. Avol Chatanu. Even though there are all these other things we've talked about, we don't have enough time to talk about that. So that's the, someone help me keep this third terrace of Tshuva. Here are Tshuva, accepting consequence, Tshuva, Ein Elokim Bekirvi, and then confronting it in a graphic way. The next Tshuva Sheina Gemura may seem like Tshuva Gemura, but maybe we have to define Tshuva Gemura a little more precisely to realize how the Tshuva we've thought is Tshuva Gemura is in and of itself a Tshuva Sheina Gemura. When the Rambam speaks about Tshuva, he avoids that three-stage process that was so accustomed to. Look at the Rambam's Lashon, source number 16. Kinsan Misvadin. Omer Anashem Chatasi Avisi Pashati Vatanach Avidur. Yasisi Kach Bekach. Harini Chamti, Charata, remorse. Uliolam Eini Chose Ledavar Zeh. We've all been trained about the three stages of Tshuva. Vidui Charata, Kabbalah Lasset, Nishkirach. That's the Satan's Tshuva. Satan wants people to Tshuva that way. You know what type of Tshuva that is? That's clinical. that's stable, tranquil, reflective, calm. Is that what Tshuva Gemura is? Tshuva Gemura, the Rambam adds, Bharei Nichamti Uboshti. You feel shame. You feel mortification. Does it hurt? The best word I can choose to describe Tshuva, it has to be destabilized. Our whole lives are pitched on emotional equilibrium. We're looking to be stable as people, well-rounded, emotionally intact, coping mechanisms, defense mechanisms. Tshuva is an attempt to dismantle that entire process. It's a journey into the night of a person's soul, in which essentially you reach the stage where you're so embarrassed of your existence, you're almost passing into the boundary or the territory of despair. The very thin line between frustration, anger, mortification, shame, and despair. And I pity someone who hasn't visited that boundary. I'm terrified of someone who's passed the boundary. And I have sadness for people who haven't visited that boundary, because that's one of the deepest moments of the lives of shame. You can barely look at yourself in the mirror, because you're so embarrassed as to your own performance. And without that, all correction is lost. All growth is absent. That's one of the deepest emotions, shame, when you feel like you've been divested of all the artifice, divested of all the self-confidence. Think of, and we employ the word shame in a dual function, we employ the word shame in a religious existential sense, or we employ the word shame in embarrassment because you slipped on a banana and started laughing at you. But it's the same feeling. You've lost that mask. You've lost that interface that you normally process your life with vis-a-vis others. And internal shame is, it doesn't have to be flashed to others, but you feel it internally. So you remember the last time you really, really were embarrassed. You really, you know, you slipped on a banana peel, or your handle, your fly was open, or whatever. Never may have been. Nothing morally deficient, but you felt completely, excuse the expression, transparent or naked. There's nothing to normally employ as your interaction with human. They're all been completely torn asunder. What about the self? You also have an interface with yourself, the way you treat yourself, the way you stabilize yourself. It's a real emotional interface. And moral shame is when you go, that has been stripped. That has been disrobed. And when you look at yourself for once in a true fashion, you can't continue. You simply can't continue. It's a real blackness. Another mouth describes it in the mouth. You walk around the world and the birds are chirping and people are smiling and you feel empty, you feel hollow. You feel that people are almost mocking you by their happiness and by their joy because you're engaged in such an existential nightmare and disappointment that the world's beauty and the world's glory just is almost meaningless. There's no trouble, there's no joy, there's no satisfaction. Another mouth stops on the dime and thus and another comes and berates it. Source number 17. Notice the parsha invading the pasuk. There's a parsha break in the middle of a pasuk. You see that tzamach? If we were to open up the Sefer Shmuel written on a scroll, you would see nine empty spaces. Because Davar Mach can't continue. It's a literary device. He stops. There's nothing clear. Chatasim Hashem. But now let's correct, let's rectify. Almost as if you're too quick towards tshuva, then this busha is false. I would compare it when I describe Tisha B'Av to people. People sometimes lazily convert Tisha B'Av to Yom Kippur as if it's a day for tshuva. It's monstrous. It's hideous. Tisha B'Av is not a day of tshuva, at least in its core. It's a day of avelos, a day of mourning and absorbing the shock of a life without everything we don't know we're missing. But also a disrobing of reality. Showing us the way life should be, not the way life is. Recognizing that we fall so far, sometimes we forget we're falling. We don't even realize the absence of the base of Mikdash. So to highlight the difference between Avelos and Tshuva, I say, what would happen if, let's say, a terrible tragedy struck, Rahman al-Islam, Chas v'Shalom, and the people who lost Chas v'Shalom, think of the worst nightmare that could happen, are standing by the grave, and they're saying, what can we learn from this? How can we improve ourselves? What are the lessons? Horrific. Stand by a grave, you cry, you scream, you shriek, you just feel the pain of a world that is forever altered and forever be empty. You don't plan your recovery, you don't plan the transition. The moment's got, you have to live in the moment. You can't sometimes always orient yourself towards the future. Sometimes it's a process. It's a very, very interesting article in the New York Times this week written by a professor of philosophy at MIT or Harvard. There's a lot of philosophical babble, which shows highfalutin words, and to be comfortable. It was really talented experiences. They all said that there was a link, because I've had good boys in the shirt. Basically, some experiences are heading towards a terminus to accomplish something, to perform something, to achieve something. There are telic experiences, and there are atelic experiences in which they're not headed towards a conclusion. Like spending time with your family, what do you hope the conclusion will be? And I'll spend enough time that I'll receive it again. It's the experience itself. And the irony is the telic experience subvert themselves. They want to basically eliminate themselves. You want to accomplish a certain goal. But you want to finish your jogging, so you can end your jogging. But atelic experiences sustain themselves. That's what Kara is. That's what the Bodhis Hashem is. You're reaching for the sustenance of this, the perpetuation of the experience, not the termination of the experience. Very fascinating article. If you think about Yom Adin, and what El is, El will tell like experience in Eta. Right? Would you hope for a world in which El never ends? And if I'm pronouncing it properly, tell like a Tila, it's come from the Rosh or Tilos, that all the Shana Alephites come and ask me the first day what it means. Ontology and Tilos, like, I have to answer that question again if she must.
Make a sign.
But they're provisional. They come to the third page, and they're all lined up. Send them to you.
What was the purpose of the article in the New York? So, what were they trying to?
I think she was trying. Look, any article you read in the New York Times, its purpose is how you survive the drunken.
Yeah.
That you can assume. They could be discussing
anything.
The undercurrent is how are we going to make the next 3 days. I think it was partially that. Without saying you're calling it, it's getting boring. Right? Right now I'm listening to say for intellectual breath. Nothing where you can or can't survive. It's just write about something, there's gotta be something else to write about. But it's always I think it's enough that. Anyway, but for the real Jew, it's Bushha. Whatever person doesn't feel Bushha, person doesn't achieve that. And just the clinical, sterile, composed, poised tshuva, moral inventory. This is where tshuva really gets worth. This is where tshuva really becomes existential. It's about your heart, not about carrying a clipboard and conducting a thorough inventory as you would in a warehouse, in the Amazon, inventory chief. How many drones are left? How many drones do we have to order? How many chatayim? How many avonos? How many mitzvos? And where can we recalibrate? But it's really the riot. That's what I want to try to feel. Sometimes I'm more successful than others. A riot, an inner riot, an inner darkening, a destabilization, a loss of equilibrium, a frantic, almost panic state. And then we're in a cover. Can't cross into that boundary. But that isn't always available. So, that I think is the next level of imperfect tshuva. Where you fall back upon that formulaic, calm, vigor, charata, kabbalah, asid. You're not able to stop in mid-sentence, as Davina looks able to stop. Chatasi Hashem. As the Gemara says, in Bracha, stop 3 days in the days. First number 18, how do you think about it? When the Rabbi, the king of Sabbath, which made the Rabbi, this is Rav, kol osa davar avera, in this Tayish book, mochim lo kov an osa. This isn't really Bushha, but you're getting close to Bushha when you start crying. It doesn't have to be caused by Bushha, and not every Bushha causes a tear. When you start crying, you're somewhere close to the territory of Bushha. Because there's a certain mechanism in human beings that withhold tears and restrain tears. And when mechanisms start to become flimsy, and all those mechanisms fail, mechanisms of self-defense, to a degree that's what you interpret is. You want to assault all the mechanisms of biorhythm. There's a more authentic penetration to identity. So when you're not eating, when you're not drinking, when you're not sleeping, when you're not sitting, and all the anchors of biorhythm that typically blunt that self-introspection, there's a certain reality that shines through. And the less time you're tired, the less time you're... No, I said, all these are anchors, and you're going to their handcuffs. And the challenge is to de-anchor yourself more than those handcuffs and you're going to get it. You can go straight shot into the soul, straight shot into the head. The next level of Tshuva She'ina Gemura is to me probably the most challenging. The most, almost I feel like, in my huge, and you have to be able to withstand the mockery of it. I mean, a lot of people are unable to withstand their self-mockery, and therefore they're too drunken about it. Chazal, source number 15, talk about a person who's Echta V'Yashuv. Omer Echta V'Yashuv, Echta V'Yashuv, Ein Maspikin B'Yadav, Lasos Tshuva. By the way, if you're looking for an example, I'm just going to backtrack for Tshuva that I don't think includes Busha, but includes remorse, but not Busha. It's quite a horrible. It's okay. Get the message. If Parham is fearful, you have to improve. I think that's what's behind Nineveh. When I read Nineveh, that's what I pick up. I don't hear panic in the streets of Nineveh. I don't see worry. I don't see embarrassment. See, you read the source 31. But you know what I'm saying? Nineveh, they're looking. The two bad ones, they listen. That carries a big stick. I think it's solid. They can create that. Right? Who's showing the man? Tshuva on the man. Okay, fine, the tshuva. King decrees, everyone do a tshuva. Right? B'shu sakim migdolam. Seems very organized. All the sakim are handed out, different sizes. You know, extra large, you have a sakim, extra large. Extra small, extra large. Here's a sakim. You're distributing. You don't have to read about the distribution of sackcloths. It just seems very, very factory-like. Finally, God of our Melech Nineveh, so now he realizes, Yaakov, he says, he gets up from his chair, he takes off his clothing, he puts on the sackcloth, orders some ashes from his assistants, by his ape, by a Rebbe Nineveh, Lamor, this is hilarious, Hadam de Hadahima, Makarbi Hatzov, excuse the animals, what the animals do? What's the difference? They're animals. Seems like everyone's got to be in love, everyone's got to pitch in. Oh, you'll fast, I'll eat the mumma, we're not eating, you can't eat. Oh, you're my shoe. Imagine, you feel as younger for the animals. The animals are like different because the younger. These people, it's almost crazy, they lost their minds. They made us do chew, we do, we can't wear animals. That's their Megillus Yonah, but we only have our Megillus Yonah. I just kind of just like, yeah, my gam, the sackcloth, I've done that for months. It's almost funny to read it. I grew up in the Chaska, by Yashuv, Mishin, Darkoa, Rabbi, the Chamon. There's remorse. Mir Ode, Yashuv, and Icham, Misham, and Ron Apa, wherever knows. It's a calm thing in there. Imagine the streets weren't bleeding with too much sympathy and shame. Everyone's calm, everyone's going about their business. The order of the day, the business of the day, true. So of course, we now have to walk through and stand up to sackcloths and scream and cry that we don't be punished. That's not true. That's true. That's the end of the morning. People in Nineveh are rescued. Anyway, getting back to the citizen. Echta v'yashuv, echta v'yashuv. So, let me tell you what Chazal are not describing. They're not describing someone that says, okay, I'm going to pass Yom Kippur. I don't know. That chaf beis tishrei. This all blows over right at the circus. I'm out of here. I'm getting those chatzai. I got my plan. Got my ticket punched. That's ridiculous. The Chazal doesn't talk about that. That's a fake. Guy isn't worth his soul. That's not even Uri Tshuva. That's just full deceit.
It's totally disingenuous.
Two-faced.
You're talking about something that's just more formulaic than disingenuous.
Yeah. I'm up to the next level. When they describe Echta V'Yashuv, Echta V'Yashuv, they're describing every single human being that ever lived. Because if you're honest with yourself, we're all living that nightmare. Because we all know, and this is really the greatest enemy to Tshuva. The knowledge that as hard as we try, and as strenuous as our Tshuva, we'd be right back in the same place next year. I've seen this movie before. I've been on this merry-go-round 52 years. I know where it's heading. I know that next year, 2018, same old story. I look at myself, I see the same darkness, the same failures, whatever growth may be incremental. And that's the cycles of recidivism that we all face, that Chazal are talking about. And that's where many, many people lose their heart for sincere truth. So I want to be a mockery, I want to be a hypocrite. I'd rather just be honest with myself, okay? I'm stuck in neutral, I reach forward. So sometimes we're lucky and we shatter those cycles of recidivism and we actually do beyond ourselves. Pretty much to do that. There's got to be some death at some level. Somebody has to die. Tshuva, Yonah dies. Remember Yonah swallowed by a male fish becomes a female, which spits him out. So the owner dies, and the whale that swallows him is a tomb, and the whale that spits him back out is a womb. And the whale becomes pregnant with new life. The whale is dead. And there's got to be some complete crisis of self. We don't. So what's our answer to this spectacle of Echad v'Yashar, which is just so discouraging, so dispiriting. All these pledges, but come on. Look at yourself. You didn't make those pledges last year. You weren't sincere last year. You weren't honest last year. You're right back. In most cases, into most of the cycles of habitual failure. How do we answer that? How do we solve that? And the Rambam knew about that already. The Rambam has two answers. Number one, source 20. Call him this Vada Vidavar. The Lokamar Baliba Lazo. If you have no intention to withdraw, then it's like you're entering a mikvah with the shekels. Lokamar Baliba. So what's the deek of the Rambam? You enter Vida without any Gemiras Das, then your Vida is a joke. Like a mikvah with shekels. But if you enter Vida with Gemiras Das, you really want. You really desire. But you know you're a human being. But let's say I'll give you a 17-year-old medical, I spend 90% of my life. Let's say I put a pill on the table. And I said, if you take this pill, all of your dreams of Chiva will be executed flawlessly. You will actually reach that person you dream of. That person will actually, like that person will materialize. Ready to take the pill? If you want, we have the rest of us. You want to every fiber of your being. You're not dishonest. You're fighting against the reality. You're fighting against the inevitable. I know, but I really don't want it. I really don't want it to happen. I know there's failure in this world. I know that I just want to transcend it for once. Or is the Rambam writes even more powerfully? Source 19. It just means the end, on the top of the page. The thing is Nachim al Sheavar, the end of Source 19. The Yahid Allah Yodea Talumos. Who can testify to that sincerity? Not you, because you don't even know yourself. You're caught in this world of self-doubt. Hashem Baruch Hu knows. Hashem Baruch Hu knows your heart better than you do. The Yodea Talumos, Bochen Levamos. When we say those words, or Hashem Yukiba, we feel heartbroken. We should say those words with hope. Bochen Koyos, Malev, Yodea Talumos. For most of us, it's very frightening. You know what my thoughts are. You know how terrible I've been. You know my evil, corrupt thoughts. A part of it is like a verbal. You also know there's a part of me that I have trouble accessing. I know it's there. I can feel it. I can hear its voice. But then it gets swallowed up by all my deceit and delusion. But you know it's there. You know you take my truth. You prove my truth for me. You're your dad, how it was. You say testimony that I have it and bank it. Put it in the bank. I'll rob the bank the whole year. Please put it in the bank. That's true. So the Rambam describes true. That's why he writes those words. Because he knows that you can't trust yourself.
Right there, I mean, why does the Gemara come down so harshly against this truth? I mean, the Rambam seems to give it out like this is a partial truth. The Gemara doesn't seem to view this as a partial truth. But all the other models so far seem to have a positive spin on in Chazal. And, you know, but
so I think the reason the Gemara doesn't say Ain't Shivasa's Kabbalah. It just says, Ain't Maspeak of the other last of Jew. It means because you develop these ruts that are hard to break. It's not a punishment. It's not a responsible Kachabako. Ain't Maspeak means it's just really hard. And it's establishing the cycles that's hard to shatter. So one answer to this, to the cycles that you're really trying to shatter and find that new identity, and one is just to accept it and to overcome it with sincerity. Saying, no, I won't be successful, but I'm not going to stop being sincere in the hope. I'm going to dream a fiction that I know won't happen, but I'm going to live that fiction. Perception is reality. I know that the narrative will play out differently, but that's not the fiction at all I want to be part of. I want to create my own reality that won't play out. But
the sincerity is enough, you could shake it up more than that. You don't have to go back to the same thing. You don't have to go back to the well exactly the way it was the year before. You have the power to change that. Even within the confines of the shul you've gone to every year for the last 20 years.
So I think it's enough. That's what I think is a double response. You grow in increments. Try to create these breakthrough moments where you shatter the cycles. And then the areas you can grow in, the increments you can establish, it's just, you don't give up on your kippur, but you give up to the fact that you can't overcome the futility or the fragility of your experience. He has to accept the humanity within you and count on with sincerity. And otherwise, it'll just do what you want. Not true. If you're facing yourself honestly, it'll just lose it. You know, it's just toss the whole idea. It'll force the whole idea.
Reminds me of the serenity prayer. God grant me the serenity to change the things that can change. Except the things that I can't change, that they just lose it.
That's why I started this share thing. This is at the heart and soul of Rav Shlomo. It's not just Rav Shlomo. Rav Shlomo can amplify something. The serenity prayer is relevant every day. And if we lose our humanity, then we throw ourselves off a cliff into the world of despair. If we lose our angelic ambitions and court mediocrity and flatulent of religion, just have to have that coil inside of it to be able to calibrate. So we're up to number...
Five.
We'll stop.
That was five.
We'll stop with six. Six is my favorite one. I can really condense everything into six. Six is what I call snow tuba. Snow. What I call snow tuba. This one's so hot. You can all dream of the snowy Christmas young day. It's a nice feeling to extract this out from this furnace. But also because you shine gold in snow tuba. We recite that pasuk so many times. Yuchadechem kashanim. So it's 21. Kashel yaldim. It's white as snow. In Yadim Wachatolah, it will be red like a worm, et cetera, and turn into white wool. So, what is Yishai getting at by employing two different types of white? Wool versus snow. There's a lot to say here, but sheer unto itself. But there's one fundamental difference. When you clean wool, you clean it within. You clean the actual dirt off of the wool, chemically, physically, a combination of the two. Snow doesn't cleanse. It covers. Snow doesn't actually cleanse the earth. It covers it with the radiance of the glow, passing and fading. The earth isn't cleaner. The ground isn't less dirty. It's just covering. And when we fail at the tshuva gemura, we say, "I said, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know what? Maybe I can't do tshuva, but I know how to put on my skin." And Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is the time to put on mascara. And what's the mascara of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? So all the things we do on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur to make Kadosh Baruch Hu love us more, that's a whole different highway of truth. It's about space and love, not about shame and frustration. It's about elbow. Here's a doggy, this doggy, right? And I pity someone who loses sight of the Ava of every single minute. And we say in our davening, I know I have shayim, I know I can't give myself to shayim, I know I can't cleanse the walls. But just love me, Kadosh Baruch Hu, and I'll love you back. And I'll try to do things to increase that love. What does it mean? I'll be sorry to make true, but that's from us. See the Hashem. The whole year round, I eat good camp stuff, bagels, and the average way. Now it's a Sarah Sinei Tshuva, so it's Pas Yisrael. Pas Yisrael. I know that you're not all Tishrei. Rav Hashem, we now wall it Pas Yisrael. Back in Chutz Lahatz. I'm going to go after those Entimates. The Entimates Pas Yisrael? Who's a homo Entimate? Probably not a little big shit. No, we don't need any Entimates on a Sarah Sinei Tshuva. It's a minute you're allowed to, obviously. No, just trying to create a deeper, a more lively sense of religious interest in ourselves, but also. Plus, the Kodesh Baruch Hu returning to their Bamashal. What does Hashem say? Source 23, beginning of Shabbat Tshuva. Kichuim achem devarim b'shuvu Hashem. Devarim is davening, words. We daven so much. We're just davening for Tshuva. We're just davening. We're just talking to Kodesh Baruch Hu. We're talking to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kichuim achem devarim b'shuvu Hashem. Kol tisav on v'kachtov in yishalom parm sasein abim korbanos. Rav korbanos. Sasein abim kol korbanos. Here's the pasuk. Here's the ma'ishan. Pasuk hey. En Hoshea. Erepam v'shivasam. I'll heal their illness. Oh havein nedava. I'll love them freely. Kishav api mehimeno. Won't be angry anymore. That's the leaping I talked about earlier tonight. The leaping tshuva, remember? A long time ago. Called the demon, and the bomb, and the dalai, and the leaping. Or just leaping over unfinished business, leaping over uncharted territories of tshuva, leftovers, shards of soul that haven't been perfected, disgraceful identities that haven't been cleansed. Where are those clothes like? Just, what does the Akiva say to me? He nailed it, as we say. He really captured Yom Kippur in a way that Yechezkel didn't. Yechezkel says, "Bezarakhi lechem ayin tarim tartem," I will pour water on you, because he recognizes, the Rav says, that tshuva is not about kafara, but about tahara, not about legal absolution, but about purification, transformation, renewal. So in Yechezkel's mind, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in Shemayim pouring water on you, which is still a milah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu offers the water, so that's a pretty powerful, purifying water. Akiva came and said, source 26, Yomer Mikveh Yisrael Hashem. That's the blessing in Yirmiyah. Now, Mikveh Yisrael in Yirmiyah means hope. It doesn't mean Mikveh. That means that. Mikveh Yisrael Hashem, Tikva. Akiva had a drasha. Mikveh Yisrael Hashem. Ma Mikveh Vitaris Atveim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vitaris Yisrael. Wow, this is magic. I would think, okay, I understand that tshuva is returning to Hashem, not just the brooding myself, but everything else is a prefix, the prerequisite to being with Hashem. When am I with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? After I engage in the entire process of tshuva, lock, stock, and barrel, kapara, tahara, now I'm a tor! Mi'ala b'har Hashem, mi'al klubim kam kachel. It's pretty obvious. Mi'ki chapayim, until then I'm barred. Lo yigur chara. This company with you tomorrow, I'll be your mitzvah. I'm not the encounter after the tahara. I'm the procedure of tahara. You don't even have to be mitahara yourself. Just spend the day with me. With your tshuva. Hashochini tam. Hachrei Moses. Softa Mosaf. I'm with you. You tell me. I want to be with you in the tshuva. Beis Hakvaros. Bekoi Beis Hakvaros. Chazal say, wherever you are, I want to be. That's what you want. No, you don't need any extra tshuva. Just find a way to be at Hashem. Well, real ways. Find a way to connect, open your heart, to feel your bone shul. You don't have to cleanse yourself before. You just have to find your bone shul. Who did the cleansing for you? That's all Avein Nedava. That's no tshuva. You haven't done anything. Just be with the bone shul. That's all you need to do. So it's a tshuva. It's chumras. It's a bone shul. There's another way to reach Abbas Hashem. Rav Amital, to me, the moment, a couple of moments in Kippur, that this was a historical moment, that only Rav Amital could do this. He would cry before Ne'ilah when he did the Sikha. Karal Hashem, Machol, Karal, Machol, Hashem, Yekar, Ulub, Emet. Nifra, Yachol, Lagid, Al, Atzmo, Shehu, Emet. In Emet, Bolam, Shalanu, Kulanu, Shakrim. Now that sikha could have taken place in any yeshiva, in any century, by any Rosh Yeshiva. That's fire and brimstone. That's chapter one. A beautiful Ne'ila sikha. And what's chapter two? What's the next stage? Now that it's in the Ilan. I can't say it in Hebrew, so I don't know. Never said it. But the average Sikha would be, and therefore this is the Ilan, Shari Shamayim are open. Please approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu with as much honesty as you can, with as much sincerity as you'll achieve MS. And Hashem will listen to your feelings this one day a year. I can give that Sikha. So Rav Amital said, that's his moment. He says, you're all human beings, you're all sheker. I'm sheker. So I get to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's your hope? That was his thesis. I can update Rav Amital. Everything we wanted is still not here. All the terror we have to face, all the challenges. So So you can be a lay shavur on your own. But the easiest way to be a lay shavur is to have a lay of Am Yisrael. And to live and feel Am Yisrael. Not just in the Shoah. And not just in Eretz Yisrael. But feel the struggle of Am Yisrael. And lose yourself. Lose your identity. Get lost with Am Yisrael. Hide in history. And then I promise you, you take the biggest leap. And you don't need, no, you don't need mascara. You're right there with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's what Kodesh Baruch Hu requires you to do. Come on, in your rosh. Oy la'ava, shalafu ba'ra mishulchana. I'm crying on Shahim Kippur. Listen to Kodesh Baruch Hu's tears. That's the best way to cry. Shetazim dimosein, but no kodlios. We ask Kodesh Baruch Hu to take our tears and put it in your kelim. Put my tears with your tears. I'm crying your tears. I don't need you. Put my tears with your tears. That's the godless of the tzaddik knows. Tzaddik knows in a very, very long beginning. I can't tell you if you said it every day. I can't tell you if we say it only in Erev Rosh Hashanah. But that's what it's be doing. And the truth is, if you start looking carefully at the slichos, very few of the slichos talk about tshuva and kapara. Most of the tshuva talk about Am Yisrael and their suffering. And the nivus and tzaddik. And you ask yourself, look carefully, so you ask yourself, copying al chay, the fact that they did this and they did it, what does that have to do? Gaus, Yuvus Lechi, and Yisrael Tevach. That's the leap. That's the leap. I can't perform tshuva, I have to leap somewhere else. Sajid Gaon's tshuva is not even digitized. I have to photostat it. The old photostat. It's a succession. Baruch Ali, all of Gaus. Heartrending. I break out uncontrollably crying when I say it. Probably because it's very early in the morning. If you sleep deprived, you don't fall in love. That's probably the reason. But it's an old Kabbalah that if you cry and you're in the right, you're not supposed to wipe away the tears. You're supposed to take the tears and wipe them on your forehead or your cheeks so that they can be retired. There's a special koch of tahara in tears. So if you cry, you shouldn't have tissue. You should have tissues. You need them, but take the tears and use them for tahara.
We're sized, we're becoming diminished. And purify us. You have good intentions and we should become better people. Al King Higli Sano, you send us into Galus. And Galus should be a rectifying force. But Hinu Bishonha Malchi Osatlana, which is drowning here. We're drowning in Galus. That we bargained for. We wanted Douglas. We don't want the last 2,000 years. That wasn't part of the plan. So things switch. We have to go to Douglas and change a little. But base kachina kipatena shayel seifas eishur eki asmas yad episode soviyazul. No one's helping us. We need call a goyim yoshim shayim shvitin. Go to Finland. Everyone's having a good time. Not anymore. We're nice, but. Relative. Go to South America, travel to China, everything's quiet. Everyone's mocking us, everyone's attacking us. Sounds like Tisha B'Av. Had mercy on Yerushalayim, Asher Zantar, Amcha Yisrael, Merudim Yav, Boshim Masim, and Meshever Ruch Tchaber. Here it is. Here's the Rebbe telling the Sadduk. And Shemayim getting together at Rosh Hashanah, saying, "Oh, we each gave the same sicha. I gave the sicha about Shmiras Halei, and so did you, Psachiko. Hine, in the Shever Ruach Techaper, you weren't brokenheartedness. Mamshavamita. Hine, Nishbar Libeinu Bikurveinu. Our hearts are broken. Minat Saros, Minat Tzaros. Our hearts may not be broken based on our failure, but based on the Tzaros. The Shavu Alinu." Our Shalom El Sami Sami said it's taken from Mam Ches. There's no more health in our bodies. Here's the link. Here's the Shalom. And we said, you know what? There's something deeper than Tshuva. Not at the expense of Tshuva, because it's invaluable. But in addition to Tshuva. Kodesh Baruch Hu, I'm going to leap, and I'm going to leap by the Ava that I feel for you, and the mitzvahs that I want to include, and the potential. Right? When you love someone, you're not the, what did this? How can I? Home for it, do that. You cover it up with love. You cover up all these irregularities or harsh parts of your relationship. Unless I could just pocket, I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to pray for Am Yisrael. Now, of course, you're the lady. I'm going to go to Pocket Listens. I don't know that six times the church anyway. That's why I think the Rambam doesn't describe you. Describing you, he describes one, monolithic, one size fits all. You either eat the matzah, you don't eat the matzah. You're Yatsin Zayin Tefillin, you're not Yatsin Zayin Tefillin. This is a journey. Everyone's journey is different. Each year is a different journey. We reach different stages in our journey. Don't try to predict where you'll end up. Sometimes you're too busy worrying about whether your truth is authentic, and it becomes self-defeating. Just let yourself travel in an authentic way. Trust yourself that you'll be sincere and find that. But have ambitions in tshuva. Have aspirations to be about tshuva. Tshuva can work to break those cycles. But set your abandoned. Well, I don't perform tshuva. Like, Rabbi Sparkle wanted to create the world. And Emma said no. And Tzedek said, and tshuva. They're all tshuva. I don't know what tshuva is. This is something which is uniquely a human experience. It's uniquely human. We have to accept the limits that our humanity caps on that tshuva as aspirational and ambitious as we'd like it to be. And it's Rosh Hashanah. See, tell them. Don't forget Rosh Hashanah. Sure, I gave last year, the thing was recorded, so you can listen to it. But don't get caught up in tshuva. Rosh Hashanah, I have to walk away a little bit from tshuva. I think the Rav once said, a little bit of hurry tshuva. You take your hurry tshuva, Rosh Hashanah. And all this vidui, and I say, I'm yourself, but all this vidui and stuff, that's Yom Kippur, to expose yourself to the Malchus, to the Te'er, to the Sechronis of Am Yisrael, to the Yishchina. Can't get grounded in your own Dalet Amos. Think of Yom Kippur as contracting and Rosh Hashanah is expanding. That'd be a good model, a metaphor. On so many levels, Yom Kippur contracting to yourself, Rosh Hashanah, more cosmically, Yom Kippur is about Am Yisrael, Sasha Matana, Mitzlach, Chalagaska, Yisrael, Yom Kippur, Sacham, Tzil, Chal, Mishkagad, Yom Kippur, Pragay, Matana, Chal, Sach, Lichit, Baracha, Sasha Matana, Moshe, Dei, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Yisrael, Kol Yitzirah, Yom Yisrael, Yom Yisrael, Yom Yisrael, Yom Yisrael, Yom Kippur is terrestrial, it's about chayt. Hashem is about this alone, the Shabbat was placed in the cosmos. The thing about Yom Kippur is really sinsome. The thing about Hashem is machavis. It's getting expansiveness. It's a message that I'm struggling with for almost 10 years of this. I'm trying to get it. And it says that, although Elokim Yitzhu Hashem Bekol Shachar, the message for Hashanah, the Pasuk describes the Kodesh Baruch from the beginning of the Pasuk to Minas Abin, and the end of the Pasuk to Minas Arachim. Allah Elokim B'tshuva Hashem B'kol Shofar. So the Shofar is the Koach, the Nimahatech, Minas Abin to Minas Arachim. We all know that. How? What's the magic? So I'm sure there's a Kabbalah here, there's some Alpi Kabbalah. The Medrash starts the hint to it. What's it mean? The Medrash says, because the Shofar creates a sound with the narrow area of the Shofar, and then the sound expands the broad area of the Shofar. And that's reflective of Midas Adin and Midas Arachim. Something about the shofar taking something to actually make the sound, to crimp your lips and crimp your tongue. So it's very narrow, and create it into a very narrow space and explode the trumpets of noise. Something like the metaphor for Kodesh Baruch Hu is Midas Arachim and expanding. And this Adin is contraction, Midas Arachim is expanding. Chesed embracing Midas Adin is creating a certain line that isn't too flexible, and as it loses its north, it's fixed north. So be careful not to confuse Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. But services of Yom Kippur, so this year we decided that Yom Kippur deserves equal time. So see you soon. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
First of all, I want to thank Rabbi Tavernitz for making time to come learn with us and